research piles of it that I've done on it. And I had, and I planned 4 or 5 messages to introduce this series, at least just on the concept of what a mystery is. You'll notice the bulletin cover today is the same bulletin cover I used last week, because it is so important. I may use the one we used 3 weeks ago with the mystery next week. We will see how that goes. But that bulletin cover, I'm sorry that it's not readily available online, just because the graphics, I think, in pictures. That's why I have all these piles of bulletin covers that are slowly evaporating. I say evaporating. I keep trying to find some and they're not online. Microsoft, like I said, is not a friend. It's a foe. And the things keep disappearing. And page one of that chart, one of the reasons I wanted to hand it out again was, and I'm going to do that right now. Let's just do some housekeeping. Page one, chart one. And I want to go to the Romans 16 column, and I want to go down to number 4. Number 4, I say, brought to light. It looks like it's photizo, though it is a right and proper definition for phanereo. But I would rather distinguish it and say made manifest. Made manifest. Your lexicons are going to say brought to light as well, but that's a secondary definition. And I wanted to make a little bit of a distinction. So made manifest means you can see it in detail. To shine light on it, yeah, it helps you see it in detail. They're very similar, but not the same. And I was checking my lexicons, and I've got this chart where it is corrected in that chart. I found out there were a number of things that were wrong in that other chart. I just didn't have some Greek spelling right. So destroy that chart, and this one will carry you. So I'm giving you 4 passages, 2 charts, which give you basic definition. Now, what I did with these charts was I pulled what I consider key things in the immediate context. I did not put some key other things that are not in here because one word that I is kind of interesting that I don't have in here is the word dispensation. I wrote dispensation under with the nows, but dispensation is in an immediate context. But that's it's not directly involved with that definition. It's funny you use the word generation instead of dispensation in that. So next week, this was supposed to happen last night, but when I got home, I had several things I needed to do, and it slipped my mind what I wanted to do. There was a song that I wrote the lyrics to that I sang at a graduation. Probably was 40 some years ago. No, not 40, 20 some years ago. And I entitled it Each One Mature in Christ as a song that relates to the seminary. We tried to sing it here, but there are some songs that are designed for congregational singing and other songs are designed for, solos and that kind of thing, with a little more musical agility. And so the title was Each One Mature in Christ, with it, and it goes to Colossians 1, our passage over here on the wall. And I was going to bring it and hand it out because it fits here, but it's going to work okay if I bring it next week. Just the words. Maybe you'll understand them before you see them, as a result. The mystery hid from angels and humans in the past is brought to light for church saints for sight is the first line of that song. And that's part of where we are here. And we'll talk about it. Man, God knows what he's doing when he gives you information. He gives you revelation. It's just fantastic. when we understand it. And so, my notes are weird. And I say they are weird, in that, what you have in the beginning of the introduction, are notes that I scratched in, the ICU unit. On a 3x5 card. And it was kind of interesting, because, each week, Ruth usually asks for the hymns in the morning service, so she has a chance to look them over, and I don't throw any tricky things at her, so she's protecting herself. And she'll usually call me, and I had that card. I didn't know which that was on the back side where I had this outline, but I wrote the hymns and stuffed them in my pocket, and had Sandy text them to her yesterday just so we have them on it. And I took that card out and I looked, and here's this outline on the other side of it that I'd already put in here. So you really kind of have three different perspectives in this introduction just because of the way my week has gone. And I know you're sympathetic with it, and I appreciate it. So let's pray and we will get moving. Thank you, Father, again, for the opportunities that are ours to trust you for all things. And it's always fun when we realize we get concerned about physical things, and we are concerned right now about spiritual things. Understanding spiritual truths that have eternal verity, that is, eternal truth. And we have that opportunity to share. And this goes beyond the physical realm. And we appreciate the fact your word is that way, and we're overwhelmed whenever we see it. May you bless in this time in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, it's been kind of unstable, in this. And, I was going to compromise, and then I didn't have to in some ways, but we're going to do it anyway. What we're going to do, I mean, it's really hard for me to do outlines before. Like I said, I'm still working on my outline when I say amen in the end of the morning prayer. I mean, end of the service. I mean, these things are formulating and going together. If I didn't know how the Holy Spirit worked, I wouldn't worry about it. And so often my outlines, which you have in your bulletins, are kind of not the way they could be because they're my outlines. They're the ones I work with. And so, some have asked that we put these mystery outlines on the internet before the messages, that is in the morning before. The messages and these charts will be online when Sandy is available to do that. And I'm going to try to make it possible before the services to do that. It's always been a difficulty because my mind is working all the time. I mean, until I'm through a message, and then it's still working. And so the outlines you have in the bulletin, I think you all understand that they're my preaching outlines. They give you structure, that you know where I'm trying to go and how things are going. I've done this now for 50-some years with outlines in the bulletin. And it's been a tremendous benefit over the years. Those who collect those outlines have a huge amount of material. The irony of it is, if you saw all the notebooks of all the material, there's even more in that. And so so we're going to try to get those online. I'm sorry we can't do it because of the circumstances that we are in at this point in time. Okay, I'm trying to keep hydrated in that matter. Oh, I guess I should say something about last week. I'm pretty confident that what happened last week was I had a glucose level low. I think we faded out with it. I've had those symptoms twice before, and so Today I brought my meter and brought glucose, and I do have bananas, because they were just weird on it. Okay. See, I'm not very well acquainted with this pulpit anymore. I just come up and preach and don't look at the contents. What was I looking for? I was looking for a thermometer to see what it was like in this. So, anyway, we're going to have an interesting a thermometer I'm talking about room temperature and how it would affect up here, so how warm it is up here. I didn't want to feel extra hot with it. Anyway, so we're dealing with the divine description of a New Testament mystery from a third passage of Scripture. On that chart, on those charts that you have in your hand, we did Ephesians 3, 9 through 12. Last week we got started, essentially, on Romans 16. And they all have these definite descriptions that are pretty close to definitions as we relate to them. Today we're going to work on Colossians 1 and specifically 26. And there's more context in this, but I wanted to keep it so we can kind of harmonize what was going on. Next week, Lord willing, we will be in 1 Corinthians 2. And I'm going to use that as a bridge. It's going to solidify the definition. And then it will go beyond that. And we're going to talk about, it's going to bridge us into the series. We're going to have to talk about what it means to be maturing or mature. Because that's really key. And another thing we're going to have to talk about is the wisdom of God. We're going to see the word wisdom today. It's an interesting theme that runs in it. And many of the books that I have looked at, or places I've looked, they don't emphasize the fact that this involves the wisdom of God. But that's what happens with it. Now, what I want to start with, and I'm not going to be as quite as unified as I normally would be because I've got these three pieces of outline here with it. And that is the difference between ages and dispensations. Mysteries are very, very dispensational because they all involve the dispensation of the grace from the God. Okay? And so you do have that in a context. And I could say I don't have the word dispensation in the Greek in the outline, I mean in the charts. But there are dispensations and ages. We need to know the difference. An age is revelation about God. A dispensation is a revelation about men through a dispenser. And we learn something about ourselves through each of the dispensations. In other words, the word dispensation happens to mean the word economy is used often because it sounds like the Greek word oikonomeo. Let's get it right. And that's house law. And then there are human beings that are a household from the very beginning. And so the church is a household at this point. And so what is interesting between the two of them, an age is designed to communicate revelation to rational beings. Ages were non-existent before the creation of spirit beings, or then as we get to the human side, they were human beings. There were no ages before that because there was no one to reveal that to. And so that becomes very important to us. And if you're following or making notes at all on my outline, on letter B, it says age, any created rational beings, human or spirit or human, an age doesn't have to be one or the other. So I'll put an and with that. or and, with a hash mark, that will give it more, be more accurate. But the dispensation just to men. And so we are looking at this fact that these are two things. Last week we didn't get to punch what I wanted to punch. Because that's, in Romans 16, it uses the word for silent. Sigao is our word. It was silent or secret. And so no created being was given the secret. None. Zero. Bulletin cover. That involves lost saints, spirit beings, unsaved Gentiles, all patriarchal saints, any human being, any spirit being, none of them knew. God kept it concealed from everyone, and it was a secret. But it was also hidden. And it was hidden, and we saw that it was found in the mind of, it's hidden in God. And so God knew all about it. This was, these secrets and these hidden things were not surprises to him. He absolutely knew what was happening. And so they existed in the decree, and so they were in the mind of God. And that doesn't just involve the Father. We do have a singular with the Father that we looked at. But it's not revealed until it's determined by God. It sounds like a little bit of decree where Bulamai or Bule is worked out, where the determination of God, he says, okay, I'm going to reveal. And so we have the mysteries. We're going to talk about numbers in the next couple of weeks. How many mysteries of Paul are there? I think I mentioned last week. I have a little teeny bit of a memory lapse with last week. And the fact that I was listening to or looking at some net material on mysteries, and they were doing six mysteries, and some of them were really doing five because they were trying to make John's mysteries in Revelation one mystery by itself. And so it's interesting when we look at these, they were hidden, but now they're seen. So nobody knew. Absolute silence. Nobody could even imagine what these mysteries were outside of the Godhead. Sometimes it's interesting to look at things through the eyes of a certain cherub. He didn't have eyes, he was a spirit being. But Satan, these things were completely hidden from him. A whole lot of everything God does was hidden. Just outright hidden. And so, what did he do? He tried to psych God out. Satan's pretty good at that. He's good at that with human beings. He doesn't do so well with spirit beings. He tries. And so when everything was concealed, this was all something he couldn't grasp as the highest created being that God had made. Just think of that. And so what we are going to study in the mysteries are things that could not have been known prior to Pentecost and God's dispensing them through Paul. And that's impressive to me. And so in God's determinative will, and see here all of a sudden we get into decree. And when you look at those charts, you're going to see a couple references to decree, which is next week will be 1 Corinthians 2, and it says marked out beforehand, pro orizo on 1 Corinthians 2 column on number 5. That tells you decree. We have decree. Come on, let me get it quickly. I'm not getting what I wanted. It's in the overview, so that's okay. On it. So, There's never been revelation of these mysteries until we get them in the New Testament. Now don't get snobbish. Doesn't make you that special. Doesn't make me that special. It's just gracious that God would reveal these mysteries to human beings in the dispensation of grace. You be very, very thankful for these subjects. It's interesting, when God gave these mysteries, He knew what we were like as human beings. But when He gave them, He had to know that very few people in all of history, from Pentecost forward, were capable of living in light of them. Yet He wanted everybody to in the church. All. And that just kind of drives me a little crazy, because He could force this material upon Christians and they could enjoy what it's like to be living in light of these mysteries. But they have a will and need an appetite. They need to be spirit-filled. They have to want that first of all. They have to want to mature. And so it becomes a very, very important thing, because this is stuff that's just for the church. He saved all of this for the church. And so we have that privilege. And so and it's interesting, I think He shares these mysteries with unfallen spirit beings because they have a role in working out these mysteries. Mysterion. Now there's where I'm going to just jump down to the box. Box is an overview. Now let's see how fast I can go through the box. On the chart, you'll see the word noon. Now. Now is the dispensation of grace. Paul was writing these scriptures when he revealed them, and when the Spirit revealed them to him and he revealed them, and so the now is in the dispensation of grace. We see the previous condition of the information, and in those two words we've already looked at, that is, they're hidden and they are secret. It says they're hidden from ages in Colossians 1:20 and Ephesians 3:9. From ages. That means spirit and human beings didn't have a hint. And then in Colossians 1:20, he uses the word generations. The idea of generations. Genos has the idea of persons who have been birthed. That is to say, in this case, every human being alive today has a navel. They were generated. They came from two parents, and they were birthed by a mother. That is generation. And so when we get those words to that song, that's what we're saying. The humans are generated. Angels are not generated. Angels were created in a single act of creation by a single utterance. And so that tells us some things. In Ephesians 3:9, we saw, and I don't know whether I got enough of an emphasis on that or not, but these mysteries are hidden in the God. Outside of the Godhead, these mysteries were unknown, were a zero. They weren't even a guess. They weren't even sci-fi for humans or for spirit beings. They could not imagine them. And that's why it's all in the mind of God. It's in God. It's all there. It was all there. Has been from the decree. And so we have that interesting opportunity, but to understand that God did it deliberately. He did not want anybody to have an idea. Could you imagine? Well, we haven't been through the mysteries. Could you imagine, though, him trying to teach Abraham these mysteries? Yeah, he was as mature as he could get in those days. He could not grasp anything even though he's involved on the edges of a couple of them. He could not begin to understand them. And then under D in the overview box, photizo is the word photograph, which means to be brought to light. That's found in Ephesians 3:19. He shines the light on it. I learned some interesting things, or I have learned things over the years about individuals and some former students. And I didn't know something about Kevin. Until, when was it? Was it the last or the forum before? I learned something about Kevin that I didn't know about him. He is enamored with flashlights. I had no idea. You know, I mean, as kids, sometimes we really thought it would be, I mean, the better the flashlight, the, you know, the higher our status. So he was at my house and we were talking about it, and he was talking about flashlights, and I had one of those fancy schmancy lights from Costco that has so many lumens it's unbelievable, and it was sitting by my chair. And so we were talking about it. Somehow we got on the flashlight subject. Next thing I know, I pull up this light and punch the button, and it just filled the room with light. And so what does he say? I've got to have one of those. But he hadn't had a flashlight like that. And it was just kind of an interesting thing to say. That light, you know, I think if I shined it on the bulletin cover today, you would find every flaw that's in that bulletin cover. I see things that I know because of the way that the printers aren't working. And the fonts are, and they will pick out everything because it's so bright a light. That's photizo. That's Colossians chapter, I mean, Ephesians 3:9. Then phanereo is to make manifest. And I got it right in here. That's found in Colossians 1:26 and Romans 16:26. And it means so that it is very, very visible. It doesn't mean it has light on it. It's something you can see easily. In other words, it's well defined. You can see the definition and the outline of what you see. Well defined. And that's kind of the idea, but, and like you say, lexicon sometimes will make that, bring to light. Desirously willed. God desires, whoops, there's a decree again. God planned it from a part of his desirous will. So you want to do the will of God, learn the mysteries and live them. Revelation. I want to use the word revelation so bad of mysteries. And that was only found in in Romans 16 and 25. But all five of these words are super important. Make experientially known. For years, I've enjoyed thinking about why gonorizo, which is gnosko, is used here. He wants it to be known so you can experience a lot of those mysteries. Next week, when we talk about the wisdom of God revealed in the mystery to mature ones. It's so interesting because that is wisdom in how to live as mature believers. Mysteries. You know what is interesting in 1 Corinthians 2? It is almost as though we have to say no to the wisdom of the world in order to enjoy the wisdom of God. And we're going to look at that. Here I am. In my outlines in these sections, I've translated. For all four of these passages, I've given you a translation. Did it a little different in that I didn't parse the verbs in these, though I did to do it. Decree, to mark out beforehand. This is in the mind of God that he marked out ahead of time. And then you have prothesis, which is a word to purpose. To make something true beforehand, that's Ephesians 3:11. So it's worthy, worthy, worthy of us to study mystery. So let's go to Colossians 1, and I'm going to review through this, because I've got an outline. The irony of this whole thing was this outline was done last week. It was done ahead of time. I didn't know why it worked out that way. I was just glad to spend time in the working through it. I had no idea what was going to be happening this week. And so this outline was done, and I usually try to keep it pretty close to my time, rather than doing things in advance, because I like to have it fresh in my mind. And so let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Our banner we look at every Sunday is from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 23. I'm reading the last line. It says, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, a servant. Our word for minister at the end of 23 is diakonos. He says, I'm a minister. I'm one who serves. In the plan of God, he is a steward who is a servant. Reading in verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings on behalf of you guys. Look at the top of the page, you see who those guys are, the Colossian believers. He rejoices in his pathema, his suffering. And he fills up that and fills up behind that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Sure sounds familiar, doesn't it? He wrote Ephesians probably within hours of when he wrote Colossians. And so there's a lot of interesting overlap. Ephesians chapter 1. And because of that bad, diverse division, it says in 1:22, and I'm just going to read the end, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's 22 and 23. And so you see the similarity there. And so he sees himself as sharing the afflictions of Christ in his body. The word afflictions is another word, or the word that's kind of odd here, because it's the word philipsis, which is the word that has the idea of tribulations. The tribulation period is a philipsis, is a time of pressure. I got to college, had a roommate whose antecedents were from Tennessee. So I was exposed to a great deal of Southern lingo. And it was always interesting sharing with him, because he'd always drop these idiomatic expressions. And the first time I think that I heard the expression between a rock and a hard place was from him. It was one of those old Tennessee terms that came from his forebears. And to be caught between a rock and a hard place, that's philipsis. Between a rock and a hard place. You can't turn either way without being in trouble. And that's the term he uses here. He doesn't use the word for suffering like pathema, as he normally would. And so these afflictions concerning the Christ. I, for one, believe that the articular Christ here relates to the body of Christ, as you see in the context. But he was suffering in his flesh. Let's read on to verse 25. Whereof, that is to the church, I am made a minister. And so we had that already. I wanted to start there in 23. According to the dispensation of God. Here you have dispensation. Now, I should have put it in here, probably. If I put it on a chart, I would have put it on this spot. A dispensation is a stewardship. It's an administration. It's an economy. Oikonomia is an English word that comes from dispensation of God. God picked someone to be an administrator of the dispensation, and his name was Paul the Apostle. And so according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me, the very idea of given, it's not graced with, but it's just a free gift. It's from the word that means, it means Doron. I learned that in like Christmas time. The gifts given at Christmas. Somebody gives it freely without any strings attached. And that is the idea of this verb, which is a first aorist active participle. And so this is given to me for you guys. Don't you like that? I do, because that verse is just grabs me every time I read it. For me, with reference to you. It's nice. And so this dispensation, he's talking to Colossians, but it's all of the church. We can see that from other places. And this dispensation is so that man can learn something about themselves. The irony of it is, every dispensation ends in failure, but every dispensation has a divine option, so you don't have to fail. Sometimes it's pretty much impossible. But in this dispensation with grace, that's another story. And so it was given to me for you to bring to fulfillment, to bring to completion. It's the wordplay Roma. I don't want to go further in that because I'm trying to just emphasize this definition. And then he said, it's translating the AV, even. Even's fine. They're trying to fill in an ellipsis. It works as an appositional form here. The mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. There are two froms there in the English, and there are two apos, two froms in the Greek. From ages. Now remember, when we start thinking about ages, ages started with the creation of spirit beings, which were related. They were there for the creation of the universe. Job tells us that. They were witnesses to the creation of the universe. So from ages and from generations, the repetition of the preposition from tells us that these are distinct groups of individual. From ages, I would just say from spirit beings. Even though when I wrote that song, I wrote it from angels. It worked better for the way the syllables broke, to say from angels and spirit beings. One too many, consonants. And that was my problem. And so this was, from ages and then from generations. And that's really important. And now it's made manifest to his saints. And that's our phanereo word. Now it's visible. It gives us a good excuse to be studying mysteries. But like I said, I have an ongoing fear of mysteries. Not because I don't want to teach them and don't want to preach them. I'm concerned about what saints are going to do with them. I do not want to be party to having saints say that there's something they are not because they think they know the whole truth and they only got a piece of it. I told you when we started the seminary in the first year we were here that there were some people that came to be involved with the seminary, and the fellow that was a pastor of them stood up and he said, every person in my church are abiding Christians. Each one is an abiding Christian. And I thought, that's interesting. Does he understand abiding? And he had taught those people that they were almost totally mature. Didn't take too long, and it was easy to see that they had gotten a chunk of truth because they didn't know how it got there, and they all thought that they were abiding, and they weren't. And that's why I'm concerned about the mysteries with that issue. Okay, let's read on so we can get out. It says in verse 27, to whom God desirously willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. The riches of the glory and the mystery he's going to present in this passage. Riches. What is glory? It's not just God's opinion, but it is here. It's God's opinion of what should be true of believers by the provisions of the mystery. This glory. What is Christ in you going to be doing in your life so that it makes a difference? And I see this truth as a truth that is saying, are you going to be manifesting the life of Jesus Christ so people can see his life in you? If you're mature, you can. But if you're not, you can't. And so we end up with a charade of these different manifestations, they say, is the character of Christ, and they're not mature at all. And that's what we need to be careful of. And so he says this mystery is God's opinion of what really you should be. And we understand it. And the indwelling of Christ, we've sung that song many times over that we did this morning. You know, I mean, that the Christ liveth in me song. It was part of the little package. I shouldn't say little, but there's a package of songs that are very normal here and have been for, well, most of the time we've been here. And one of them is Christ liveth in me. So easy to sing something we don't really understand. The hope of glory. And so he says, whom we preach warning. You know what the word warning is? I mean, putting it in somebody's mind. It's the word mind in a verb form. We're putting it in somebody's mind, teaching every man in all wisdom. Oops, that panta, that every man is something else. God intended for these mysteries to work in the lives of every believer. Unfortunately, the dispensation tends to end in failure. And so it's easy to take a detour. It's easy to follow a fraudulent position in this. Because he says, every man in all wisdom. Ooh, all of a sudden wisdom raises his head. We're going to look at wisdom next week. The wisdom. Because there is that mystery. And I put 1 Corinthians last on purpose. Because it talks about a lot of process. And we'll probably be 2 weeks on it. But the whole goal is he teaches every man wisdom that he may present every man mature in Christ Jesus. There's a bit of a textual problem. I believe Christ Jesus belongs that way. And so he says every man, he says, in all wisdom to present all panta again, every man mature in Christ. That's the goal. Now all of a sudden we get a standard, not a false standard, one in which the Holy Spirit produces reality rather than coming up with a rule book that tells us how to become mature. And that's what a lot of people want. Give us a rule book. Yeah, so the referee can pull it out of the pocket and make sure we meant the rules. No. It's the Holy Spirit, the one that leads us in these matters, that makes the difference. And he says, whereunto I also labor. The word labor is perspiration producing work. Striving, agonizing is our root word behind it, according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So we have some interesting concepts here in Colossians 1. And like I said, we could fatten this a little bit. That was not my intent. I wanted it to the point. It was a few verses I could, in the core of the context. So I left out the word dispensation, which is seems like weird to me, but it's not, because I do have it mentioned in another way. So we have seven different primary focuses that are on that chart. Next week, we're going to look at another part of it, and it involves seven in different ways. We have having been hidden, and that's it. The rest of them are different. They're going to tell us about it. So, mysteries, mysteries, mysteries. Mysteries to be seen, not sought. Not to be solved. Just to see them, because they've been revealed to us, and so we are looking for them. So let's go ahead and conclude in the afternoon, and we'll be back together. Thank you, Father, again, for your word, the truth of it. Most of all, we pray that we might be effective in understanding it and having these all put together to see how fortunate we are as Christians to have this set of mysteries, which give us all we need to give you the kind of glory you so deserve. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.